that when we do bhajan, we want to make sure we're doing sadhana bhakti. So it's not just actions that's important. It's the mind behind it. It's the mentality. That's what we say, bhav. You know, sadhana bhakti is supposed to come to bhava bhakti. So bhava bhakti means, what is bhav? Bhav is feeling, emotion, love, thinking. What will make Krishna happy? I'm chanting Hare Krishna. So this is a very nice definition. That this is what the acharyas are telling. It's only sukriti. If we're doing sadhana, we're hearing and chanting and reading, we're not begging and crying out to Krishna, Krishna, please. Krishna, please bless me. I come to the platform on bhav. Because you're only pleased. Actually, Krishna is only pleased by bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. And what is my demotion? It's like we're supposed to offer Krishna. It says, yet, what was that verse? Patram pushpam phalam tayam yome bhakti prayachati. It says, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, then I accept it. So we're supposed to offer, make an offering to Krishna with love and devotion. But usually when we make an offering, it's full of lust and commotion. Commotion means lots of movement. Fatafat. Calm and fatafat. Jaldi, jaldi. Quickly make this offering because I'm very hungry. I want to eat. Fatafat. Krishna, ding, 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 ding. No, no, no. You know, okay, Krishna. Okay, has it been 10 minutes? Oh, it's 9 and a half. Okay, that's good enough. Okay. So Krishna is telling bhakti prayachati. It should be offered with bhakti, with devotion, love and devotion. But love becomes, you know, praying becomes calm, and devotion becomes rajagun. Devotion is shuddha-sattva. Shuddha-sattva. Bhakti is shuddha-sattva. Vishuddha-sattva is bhakti. Bhakti is a ray of swarup-shakti, which means vishuddha-sattva. Transcendental goodness, pure goodness. The very energy of the body of God. The energy emanating from God's body. It's like from the body of... You have a light bulb. The bulb has a rupam. Right? The bisli rupam. But emanating from that, coming from that is light. Right, so emanating from the body of Krishna is this Swarup Shakti. From his Rupam is Swa Shakti, his own Shakti. That's called Vishuddha Shakti or Vishuddha Sattva. So this is devotion, this is bhakti. So we're supposed to come to that level. Well, the thing is that we offer, it's good, at least before you weren't offering. So it was just completely, you know, lust and commotion. Now it's in lust and commotion in the name of devotion. Before we were just eating with lust and commotion. Now we're offering with lust and commotion. So there's a touch of bhakti there because Krishna is connected there. Before we would just cook with a lot of commotion very quickly and eat with a lot of lust. Now we may be cooking with a lot of commotion and also eating with a lot of lust. But firstly, we offer to Krishna with a drop of bhakti because this is the order of our guru. Our guru is telling us to offer our food first to Krishna. This is guru agya. So by following guru agya, then bhakti comes in the heart. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, by pleasing guru. So we're acting under guru's instructions. Although I am an abode of all wrong things and bad things and misbehavior and bad mentality and wrong feelings, but... Let's get this pizza. Okay, we got this pizza from Govinda, so we take it to our room. Oh, is it offered? I don't know. I think they offered. Oh, maybe they didn't offer. I don't know. We should offer it. Oh, we better offer it before we eat it. So he put it in front of a picture of Gurudev. You know, Iram Anna, and Iram Vyanjana Anna Mishchana Nivedyam, I'm Gurudev Namaha, whatever. Klim Gurudev Namaha. Then we take. So because we touched, it somehow touched the Krishna minutely, or in, very minutely. There's a touch of Krishna there, a touch of Guru there. Then good things will come as a result. Some bhakti will come inside of us. Because before we were just eating. We used to pull over, we go into the Pizza Hut or go anywhere and just buy the food and eat it. I'm a humbogi, I'm the enjoyer. We are thinking we're the Bhogya, but actually we're Bhogya Vastu. Bhogya Vastu. Bhogya Vastu means we are the substance to be enjoyed. We are not the Bhogya. The Bhogya Ram Yagatapasam is Krishna. Krishna says in Gita, right? In the 5th chapter, 29th verse. Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshram Suriram Sarvabhutanam Shantam Richati Kyantam Shantam Richati. So he says, Bhoktaram, I am the Bhokta, I am the enjoyer. So Krishna is the enjoyer. So this is our sadhana. We don't want to do Sukriti, good deeds. Because we did a lot of Sukriti, then we came to a spiritual movement. And we met some devotees, and we had so much Sukriti, we decided to surrender to Krishna, so we joined ISKCON. But now we're in ISKCON, if we just continue to do Sukriti, then we just stay around, you know, life after life until we come to the point of doing sadhana. Because once you begin sadhana bhakti, then you can come to bhava bhakti and perfection. Perfection means prema. So we have to do sadhana. So sadhana, how to do sadhana bhakti? This is one of the anarthas in chanting Hare Krishna. Sadhana sadhya vibram. It's told in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishnu Chakravarti. To be bewildered or confused about the process of sadhana. How to do sadhana. How to read, how to chant, how to serve Vaishnavas. Right? So if you do things in a bewildered state of mind, then you get a wrong reaction, wrong result. So when we hear and chant and perform bhakti, we should have a asha bandha. We should have a asha. Asha means desire. Asha bandha. Firm hope. With that, bhava bhakti will manifest in my heart. That bhava will come to me. That pure feelings of pleasing Krishna will come in my heart. Satisfying Krishna. Right? And that our eternal relationship with Krishna will awaken. This is why we're chanting Hare Krishna. Who am I? The first thing when someone preaches to you, they say, oh, you're a spirit soul, you're a servant of Krishna. Jivara Sarupaya Krishna Nityadas. Jiva Sarup. The Sarup of every Jiva is that he's a Das. He's in Dasyabhav, servant of Krishna. But Krishna, when we read further, we understand, well, Krishna has different kinds of servants. Yashoda is serving Krishna. Subal is serving Krishna. Raktak and Patrak are serving Krishna. Nanda is serving Krishna. Radharani is serving Krishna. Gopis, they're all serving Krishna. So they're also Sarupaya, Krishna Das. But they have different mellows, different moods, different bhavas, different rasas of love for Krishna. Some are serving Krishna in conjugal love, as girlfriends. Some are serving Krishna as his friends, like sakas. Some are his house servants, or serving him, like Raktak and Patrak. Right? And then there's Dhanishta, and then there's his mothers, like Rohini, and Yashoda. They're serving in parental love. So these are all different sarups, different kinds of bhakti, different kinds of rasa. So we should think, well, what is my rasa with Krishna? What is my rasa? What is my sarup? What is my eternal relationship with Krishna? We should be thinking that, Krishna, oh, I'm your eternal servant. What servant? Please reveal, what is my sarup? What service do you want? What service will I render for you eternally? Who am I? It's like someone says, who are you? If I go up to you and say, who are you? He says, I'm Indian. or I'm human being. I say, oh, I figured that out without asking. who are you? I'm human being. Acha. You're not buffalo? No, I am not buffalo. Acha. Are you bird? No, I'm not bird. I'm human being. Manush. I'm Manush. I'm Adni. Purush, Admi, Manush, right? Acha. Anything more? No, that's all I know for now. Well, what nationality? Or do you have a name? Do you have a... What color are you? Oh, I am no color. I'm human being. What clothes do you wear? I don't have any clothes. I'm Nagnabhava. Digambar. And Jaini Sadhu. And so like this. So someone says, well, who are you? I'm soul. Me Atmahun. Me Atmahun. Acha? Are you Saka? Are you Saki? Are you Mata? Pita? What? No, I am soul. I am Jivara Surupaya Krishna Nityadas. I am Surup. I am Surup Brahm. You know, so it's not very specific. So no one will be satisfied to go around the whole life and, oh, I am a human being. No, you have to have some identity, some individuality, some specific specific qualities, right? So this is self-realization. To realize the self means to realize our eternal relationship with Krishna. This is sadhya. Sadhana and sadhya. So sadhana should be performed with a desire to realize something. Just like you go to college, you have something in your mind. You go to college or university because you have something in mind. I want to get a degree in BCom, or in business management, or in medicine. This is in your mind. So I'm going to this class and to that class and this exam and that exam, and I'm reading this book and that book and this seminar and that seminar, and associating with this person and that person, this math professor and this math, right? It's all connected, it's all related. Everything you're doing is related to what you have in your mind. What you have in your mind is your goal, your purpose of being in university, which is to get a degree in business management. So the purpose of being in the University of Krishna, this is Krishna's university, is to realize our sarup and to attain our eternal, to realize my individual loving relationship with Krishna and attain love for Krishna. So therefore, that is our goal. So everything we're doing should be connected with that. We're chanting with that desire. Krishna, please reveal my sarup. Krishna, please fill me full of bhav, full of feelings. I have no feelings. I'm like a rock. I have no feelings for you. I have no love for you. I read so many Rasic literatures, but no feelings come inside of me. Please bless me. O Sukamuni, please let some of these feelings come, these emotions come into me. I'm like a dead rock. The only thing I get excited about is I go to the movies. I watch a movie. I get excited. Oh, this is nice. Nice heroine. Nice heroine in this movie. Nice plot. Very exciting. Beautiful costumes. Pretty smiles. I'm involved. I have feelings here when I see a movie, right? But when I read about Krishna's pastimes, I don't have any feelings. When I chant Krishna's name, I don't have any feelings. So this is unfortunate. All of Braja Bhakti, the Bhakti of Yashoda and Radharani and Subal and Sridham, it's all very similar. It's very, very similar. So even if one is, it's kind of like if someone is studying medicine and they're studying medicine to be a dentist, then they decide after a few years to go into surgery. It's not that there was any loss in studying dental science, because they still have to know anatomy, you have to know physiology. There's many things that are involved in this, in the general field of medicine, even though you may specialize. So when you're in the field, when you're approaching Braj Bhakti, and approaching Braj Bhakti, and you may be guided in the mood of Rag Bhakti, in the mood of Mandri Bhav or Madhurya Bhav, and at the point of Bhava, you may realize that, so many you have, at the point of Bhava, you may realize that you will realize what your particular sarup is. It may be different than that. So then you think, oh, I lost. You didn't lose anything by understanding the principles of Braj Bhakti. There's no loss. Because it's all incorporated. It's just like they use the analogy, Earth. Earth has all five aspects of, has rupam, and it has Ganda, and it has Rasa,
Touch,
and it has Sparsha. All things are in earth. But if you go to water, then there's something missing in water.
Fragrance.
There's no fragrance, there's no Ganda in water. So the same thing in Madhurya Bhav, if you're practicing Raghunuga Bhakti in the mood of Braj and Braj Bhakti and following someone who's in Madhurya Bhav, then you have all five are there. And then you may end up at the point of Bhava when you realize your Sarup, you may be in Vatsalya Bhava. But it also works like this, that generally in that Kali Yuga where Lord Chaitanya appears, Lord Chaitanya has just appeared 500 years ago, the jivas that kind of stumble into that yuga, into the earth planet where Lord Chaitanya is manifested, generally they're in the Braj Bhakti in the mood of Mandri Bhava or Sakya Bhava. We find this because Lord Chaitanya's followers, mostly they were in that mood. 90% were in Madhurya Bhava or Mantri Bhava. So this is important when we're doing our sadhana. We should be actually in the mood of begging Krishna. Krishna, please. Please fill me. I'm doing sadhana bhakti, but I want to contemplate form of Bhava. I want to attain love for you. The sadhana bhakti, we will only come to the level of Bhava Bhakti when we have that mood, when we have that desire, and we're doing. In other words, our chanting, all the activities we do, hearing and chanting, should be done with feeling. Krishna, I'm chanting this mantra, please fill me full of feelings. Let me chant with feeling. And please reveal to me, what is my sarup? Who am I in the spiritual world? How will I serve you over there? This is beginning. The very beginning thing. Because, you know, every day we're praying to Tulsi. E neva dana dara sakirano gatakara seva adhikara diye. Adhikara, seva adhikara diye. Please give me the adhikara for seva. Because I don't have any qualification. What is my qualification to serve Krishna? Krishna is served by the likes of Radharani. He's served by someone like Radharani. Who has pure mind, pure heart, pure feelings, everything. But how can I serve Krishna? I am disqualified. I have no qualification to serve Krishna. He's you know, he's completely pure and I'm completely impure. So, oh Tulsi Devi, oh Tulsi Maharani, please give me some qualification. Give me adhikar. Seva adhikar diya. Give me the adhikar to do seva. And give me resonance in Vrindavan, Brajavilas, right? Brajavas. I say, More Avilash Vilas Kunji Diyavas. He says, More Avilash Vilas Kunji Diyavas. Mora Avilash. My Avilash. Avilash means my one and only desire. We're praying that in the morning. Oh, Tulsi, my Avilash. Avilash, Lasha, or Avilash means one and only, my one and only desire. More Avilash, Vilas Kunji Diyavas. I want to live in Vrindavan, Vilas Kunj, in the pastime kunjas, in the pastime groves, in the forest groves of Vrindavan. I want to live there. Oh, Tulsi, you know, I'm praying like this. But I have 1,001 desires. I have 1,001,000 desires. I want a beautiful wife. I want a big bungalow. I want a nice car. I want nice money. I want nice food. And I want Krishna too. It's just like a train. You know, the train has the engine, and then it has so many cars, and finally at the end there's a little thing called, in English they call it a caboose. It's like where the guy with the flag.
Guard room.
Guard, we call it the guard car or something. Yeah. It's a little tiny car. It's not a very big car. It's a little tiny car in the back, and the guy's with flags.
Yeah,
yeah. And he's a light. It's a last car in the train, you know? So our practice of bhakti is like this. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, and then Krishna's at the end, like this little train, little compartment at the end. Oh, and I want Krishna. I want lots of money, I want a good wife, I want a nice house, I want good food, I want comfortable life, I want healthy life. Oh, and then I want Krishna. Oh, by the way, I want Krishna. I want the engine, and I want the dining car, and I want the sleeping bogey, and this and that, and this and that. Oh, and then the end, the guard car, the guard bogey or whatever. But this is wrong. This is not bhakti. So whenever this kind of sadhana, this is not really sadhana, because we're discussing the difference between sukriti and sadhana. And if you're doing all these things under the order of guru, it's still sukriti. Because not only is guru telling you to do these things, navavita bhakti, not only is guru telling you to do navavita bhakti, but guru also tell you how to do it. So if you're doing it according to his instructions, then it's sadhana. So part of the guru's instructions is it has to be done with the desire to attain bhava, bhakti and with the desire to realize your sarup. So guru, in other words, guru's duty is to teach you how to properly execute sadhana. So sadhana has to be done with the body, mind, and heart, not only body. Because there may be two devotees in a temple, one's and they're sitting next to each other. One is doing sadhana bhakti, the other is doing sukriti. They're both Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What does sadhana bhakti lead to?
Krishna
prema. Bhava bhakti. And the 9 symptoms of bhava bhakti also, in nectar devotion.
Yeah.
So if you're doing, if you're doing sukriti, what does that lead to? So the one guy sitting doing japa, he's doing sadhana bhakti. So he's on his way to bhava bhakti, because he's doing sadhana. And the other guy is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he's only doing sukriti. So where is he going? The sukriti wala is going to, he's going to meet a sadhu. That is going to tell him, you're not doing sadhana, you're doing sukriti, now start doing sadhana. By doing what we're talking about, by thinking in this way, doing bhakti with this type of thinking, and doing your sadhana with this type of thinking, and this type of feeling, and this type of aspiring. When one performs Navavida Bhakti only with the hope, there's nothing else, only with the hope that Bhava Bhakti will manifest in your heart and that our eternal relationship with Krishna will awaken and manifest, then it is called Sadhana Bhakti. The discussion of the Jiva, the origin of the Jiva, Ramanuja Acharya, Madhvacharya, there's some different ideas. So in this is called a Prakrita Vastu, talking about a prakriti, unmanifested or transcendental substances or transcendental matter, something which is very inconceivable. So some acharyas, they say like that. They say that the jivatma is just non-differentiated Brahman. It's like Brahman. Mm-hmm. And that Brahman, you can, just like some chalkboard, some black, you can write on anything you want. You can put due to sangha, due to association, or by training you can develop any particular rasa. But our Mahajans and our acharyas and Rupa Goswami and others, they say that it's Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema
Sadhu Kavanai,
Shravanada Shuddha Chite Kuryandai. They say that the sarup, the particular sthayibhav, the permanent devotional mellow, or the permanent loving relationship with Krishna, is eternally fixed in the heart since time immemorial. But it's not never been manifested or been experienced. So, and then they cite examples from Shastra, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tried to change Anupam, he tried to get Anupam to come to bhakti, but Anupam was around bhakta, and Murari Gupta was around bhakta. Murari Gupta, he tried to get him to chant Hare Krishna, but he was fixed in Ram Bhakti. But he was associating directly with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was broadcasting Braj Bhakti, where Chaitanya came to broadcast Braj Bhakti. So generally people say, I mean acharyas are saying, that those that are attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is because Krishna is in the heart. Ishvara sarvabhutanam ridesh arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantaradani mayaya. This body is a yantra, it's a machine, and in the machine is the Paramatma, and Krishna knows past, present, and future. So he knows very well what our sthayi bhav is. We may not know, but he knows. So he's guiding us. You go here, you go there. So if you're meant to serve Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha Bhakti, then you will take birth in a family of Sri Vaishnavas, generally, you can say. Or you may take birth in some other situation. But if you take birth in a family of Krishna Bhaktas, especially, many of you in India, you take birth and your mother and father are Krishna Bhaktas, and then you take up bhakti, you have these samskaras. So everything is arranged. Karmana devinaitrena jantar deho vipatiye. It's told in the 3rd canto of Bhagavatam, movements of the living entity. Karmana devinaitrena. Do the karma and the arrangement of the demigods. We take birth in a particular family. So therefore, if we are in a particular sthayibha, and we're in the Braj Bhakti, then we'll come under the fold of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'll be attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Attracted means Krishna will direct us. We don't even know. What do we know? Well, all we know is our tongue and our belly and our genital. We don't know anything more. But what is our sarup? What is our actual Atma sarup? We don't know. We only know the form of this body. I'm Indian, I'm Punjabi, I'm Bihari, I'm American, this, that. We don't know Atma sarup. We only know this Kalevaram. this sharir. We don't know more than the skin. We have nothing, we don't know about Atma. But Krishna knows Atma Sarup. So he says, oh, this particular Atma, he's in Braj Bhakti. So he should come under the fold of, I should direct him to Mahaprabhu's movement. So he'll come to Mahaprabhu's movement, then he'll take up Bhakti, and then as he practices Adosha Tata Sada Sangha Bhajanakriya Narta Nibhati Tata Nishta Ruchi, and then Asakti Bhava Prema, as he comes to Asakti, then he comes to understanding, oh, I am of this nature. This is my nature. This is my Atma Sarup. I am not Punjabi Sarup. I'm not Sharma Sarup or whatever Sarup. I'm actually in Sakha Sarup. Or I'm actually in Sakhi Sarup. Or in, you know, like this. So then he gets refinement in his bhajan. And then Krishna will arrange for Shiksha Gurus in particular, you know, teachings so he can refine and perfect his bhajan and realize his own Sarup in a particular Stai Bha. That's what the teachings of our Mahajans. That, for example, it's just like if someone gives you a mango seed and they put it in your pocket and say, this is a mango seed. And then you just have this mango seed and you wander all over the place. And then for years and years, you're just carrying this mango seed with you. And you go to South America and go to North America. And then you go to North Pole. And you're in the North Pole. And all ice everywhere. Ice and barf, you know, barf, ice. And then someone says, what's in your pocket? And you say, oh, I don't know. And you say, oh, it's a mango seed. Oh, it's a mango seed. Well, this won't grow here. You can't grow mango in the barf, in the ice. You should go to a tropical place. Mm. You should go to somewhere where it's warm climate, good sunshine, and you put that in the ground, and then that seed will grow. And then you'll get some fruits over there, some mango tree. So then you go there to a warm place, and you put it in the ground, and it comes up. So it's the same thing. In our hearts we have a seed. In the heart of the jiva there's a seed for a particular type of bhakti, for a particular type of loving relationship with Krishna. In Madhurya Bhakti or Sakya Bhakti or Vatsalya Bhakti. So that person who's advising us to go to the place, that's the super soul. Super soul is advising, he's directing. Oh, you have this particular seed for Braj Bhakti, you should go over here. You should go over here, then you can grow this seed. This seed can develop in this Sangha. Because this is a Sangha of Braj Bhaktas. We are Braj Basis. We are trying to become Braj Basis. We're interested in Braj Bhakti. We're not interested in Vaikuntha Bhakti. Narayan Bhakti, Vishnu Bhakti, Ram Bhakti. We don't care about Ayodhya and all these things. We have regard, Adar. Whatever it is, Adar?
Adar.
Adar. We have respect and honor, and we may visit those places, Chitrakoot, etc., because they're dhams. But our goal is Aradhya Bhagavan Brajeshatanyas. That, you know, Aradhya Bhagavan Brajeshatanyas. We worship Nandanandan, and we worship Brajabhumi. We worship the gopis, and our praman is Srimad Bhagavatam. And prema is our goal. Prema Mahartamahan. So someone who is of that seed will be directed by the Lord to this Sangha. And in this Sangha, that seed will manifest. So this is what I understand from our acharyas. Then guru, diksha means because the actual diksha, he's giving the water by which that seed manifests. Because practically, you can say practically he's giving the seed because he's giving Shravanam Kirtanam. He's giving mantra. Guru mantra, guru diksha means giving mantra. So in mantra there is rasa bhav. Rasa bhav is mixed in the mantra. So that rasa bhav is the water. It's just like if you have a firecracker, you know, a cracker, and then the guru has the match. So he comes and he lights the match. And, you know, you have the firecracker with a fuse, and you're holding it, and he lights it, and then. So you have the firecracker, you have potentiality to make an explosion, but without the match, nothing happens. So you have the potentiality for bhakti. That seed is already there. But then guru comes and he lights the fuse. He lights the fuse by giving mantra, and in the mantra is rasa bhav. So a particular, he'll give you, in his mantras that he gives you, he'll give you the bhav and rasa that's in his heart, that's realized in his heart. That'll come from his heart, through his mouth, into your ear, into your heart. It's called diksha. And with that diksha, with that mantra, then that awakens, that becomes water, that softens the seed of bhakti in your heart. It softens the seed and makes that manifest, it manifests the seed. Otherwise the seed will not be manifest without the touch of guru. It's the same analogy that's given in by Jiva Goswami and Sandarvas, that the banyan tree is a very mighty tree, the Ashwat Briksh, a very mighty tree. If you take the fig, if you take the fruit from the banyan tree and put it in the ground, there are many seeds there, hundreds of little tiny seeds, bijam. But not that, no tree will come on that way. No tree. The only way the tree will come, if a bird comes and eats the fruit. The bird eats the mango, eats the fig. It's like a little fig growing on the banyan tree. It looks like a fig. Little thing grows on the branches. The bird eats that fruit and eats the seeds and he poops, you know, he makes a latrine. Bird stool, right? And then that seed of that banyan seed is inside the bird stool. So when that seed is combined with the bird stool, then it grows into a banyan tree. Without the touch of the bird, there's no banyan tree. Impossible. Interesting. This is an analogy Jiva Goswami uses, Sandarvas. This is a fact from nature. So this is the analogy. You have the seed, but without the guru's touch, so to speak, the seed will not make a tree. Universe after universe with the seed. Someone says, you know, I got this thing, you know. Oh, you know, that's a mango seed. If you put it in the ground and you have put it water like this and you keep it in the sun like this, you're going to get a mango fruit. So that's what the guru, gives you that, he tells you that. Like you have the seed, you don't know what it is, you know what to do with it. So the guru tells you what the seed is by his shiksha. He tells you what the seed, he reveals what the seed is to you. Then he gives them in the mantra, he gives you the bhava and ras by which the seed becomes nourished and manifests its own bhava and ras. And the other thing is that one may have particular sthayi bhava to serve Krishna in a particular way. That's designated eternally. This is our way, our charge. In other words, just like you have the seed, you may be carrying the seed around forever, and it never grows into a mango tree. You carry the seed your whole life, then you're about to die, and you say, oh, I have this seed I got, and you give it to your son, you keep it with you. What do I do? You just keep it with you. Then he keeps it his whole life, and then he gives it, and no one ever knows. So you can go life after life after life. Brahmanda Brahmate Kaun Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Bhakti Lata, the bija of bhakti has to be in the heart, because the emanation, the soul is Sachidananda. Sachidananda, this is the nature of the soul, Sachidananda Vigra. Our ability to be happy, or our ability to feel love, comes from the Atma. So that's the Sarup, that's the Atma Sarup. The Atma Sarup, the spirit soul is made of Vadini Shakti, Samvit Shakti, and Sandini Shakti. Sachidananda. So we would not have, if there was no soul, the soul is in the body, and the soul has these attributes. The Ladini aspect is there. But the spiritual, we're expressing all these tendencies and attitudes towards matter. We love our wife, we love our mother, we love our brother. This is all the expression of the Ladini Shakti of the Atma. But it's coming through the body. The body has no, there's no Ladini in the body. There's no ability of the body to experience love or bliss. It's in the Atma. But the Atma is expressing. So that is all the covered. The functions of the Atma, the functions of the Atma, to be knowledgeable, to be aware, to enjoy, to be blissful, to be situated somewhere. This is all the nature of the Atma. That is being expressed through the body. So we want bodily security. We want bodily protection. We want bodily happiness and bodily fulfillment. So now, the Atma is already there. This Sarup is already there. That's already. So now we have to realize what is, when we uncover the pure Sarup, Atma Sarup, then we understand what is my relationship with Krishna, my individual loving relationship with Krishna. And then our love is directed to Krishna in a particular way, as his friend, as his mandri, maidservant, as his mother, as his father, like this. Now we're playing mother and father in this world. We're playing, you know, we're playing Nayak or Nayaka in this world, hero or heroine. We're playing all these roles here. We're trying to be the center of all these roles. I am the hero, I am the lover, I am the father, I am the mother, I am the son. So we try to play all these different roles in imitation of Krishna. And when we come self-realized, we realize Sarup Darshan. We realize, what is my individual Sarup? Oh, I'm Krishna's eternal friend. Oh, I'm Krishna's eternal Sakhi, or maidservant. You know, you may be in a male form externally, but in spiritually you may have a gopi form of a gopi. Like Prabhupada's a gopi. Well, we saw him as some old man, but he's a gopi. He's Radharani's gopi. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is not in the spiritual world with a pair of glasses on. He's not sitting up straight in the spiritual world with a pair of glasses. That's not Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktisiddhanta is Nayanamani Manjari. He's a sakhi. He's a manjari. Female form, spiritual form of a female. Our organization is established by Srila Prabhupada, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And there's only one Ishta. There's Radha and Krishna. There's no other Ishta. Other Ishtas are there for preaching. Nathji, that's like Radha and Krishna, but some temples they have Nathji,
yeah.
They have Sitaram, Lakshman, Nrisingadev. Prabhupada never established any deities in Nrisingadev. No, nowhere. Prabhupada established Radha and Krishna, and he so many times gave lectures on this verse. What was it? Brijesha Dhani, how's it go? What's the first line? Aradhya Bhagavan Brijesha. Aradhya Bhagavan. This is a commentary in Bhagavatam by Srinath Chakravarti. And all of our acharyas, this is written about 400 years ago, Srinath Chakravarti. And he says, Aradhya Bhagavan Brijesha Taniyas, Sridham Vrindavanam. He says that our Aradhya is Brijesha Taniyas. The Tano means body. Mantan Dan Guru Samarpan. Tana means body. So the son of Brijendra Nandan, in other words, Krishna, Nandan Nandan, he is our worshipable God. Right? Aradhya Bhagavan Nandan Nandan. Ram Nehi, Nishinga Nehi, Dusra Nehi, Eki, Nandan Nandan. Aradhya Bhagavan Brijesha Taniyas, Sridham Vrindavanam. And our goal is Sridham Vrindavan. Not Mathura, not Dwarka, not Ayodhya, not Vaikuntha. No. No interest, no desire, no. We're not doing bhajan for that. Radhya Bhagavan Brijesha Taniyas, Sridham Vrindavanam. Ramyat Kachit, Brajavadu Vargena Kalpita. Brajavadu. Ramyat Kachit Upasana Brajavadu Vargena Kalpita. Right? So he says Ramya Kachit Upasana. Upasana means worship. Ramya Upasana. The most pleasing, Ramya, the most pleasing or best, topmost worship of Krishna is done by whom? Ramya Kachit Upasana Brajavadu Vargena. So Kalpita. Brajavadu. Vadu means wife. Wife, young brides. Vadu actually means young bride, young married girl. And Brajabadu of Vrindavan. So the best worship of Nandan Nandan is done by the gopis, right? And then Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Gyanam Prema Pumartamahan. It says Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Gyanam. And so what is, so someone might say, oh, you're saying that your Aradhya is Nandan Nandan. Your Aradhya, your Ishtadeva is your cable Eki Ishtadeva Nandan Nandan. Brijendra Nandan. Kabel Ekdam Prapti Chaye, Brajadam. Dusradam Ne Prapti Chaye. Ekdam, Brajadam. Acha. And best worship, Param Bhakt, Brajagopi. Sita Ne, Lakshmi Ne, Hanuman Ne, Brajagopi. Kabel Brajagopi. Param Bhakt. Krishna Nandan Nandan Param Bhakt, Kabel Brajagopi. Acha. Kon Bole. Who's saying this? Srimad Bhagavatam. What is Bhagavatam? Amala Gyanam. Pure knowledge. This is pure Praman. This is the pure evidence. The evidence is the Bhagavat Puran is telling the gopis are the best devotees and Vrindavan is the best place. And the goal, what is our goal? Krishna Prema Pumharta Mahan. This is the Prema Mahan. This is the great goal for us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam. This is the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the matam, the mati. This is the thinking, the mati. The thinking or the opinion or the vichar of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are Gauranga Bhaktas, we are Gaudiya Bhaktas. This is Gaudiya Vaishnav Tilak. This is Gaudiya Vaishnav. We are Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So this is our verse. This is the whole, you know, this is it. In fact, I got a whole, I have some, you know, I've taken some notes on this verse. And I explain this verse. I have like four pages about this verse. This is our verse. Everyone should know this verse by heart and understand everything it means. So this is a platform to do bhajan. Unless we know what our Ishtadev is, first you have to know your Ishtadev. Then you have to know the dham. What dham? What Ishtadev? What dham? What process? Who are your exemplars? Who are you trying to follow? Who are your gurus? The gurus are the gopis. The gopis are the gurus. And anybody following their footsteps are our gurus. Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas. Rupa Mandri is a gopi, a sakhi. Rupa Mandri, Rupa Goswami. And so Rupa Anuga. We are followers of Rupa Goswami. So anybody who is in that line following the gopis, he's guru. Shiksha Diksha Guru. And he's teaching this Aradya. Lord Chaitanya came. Lord Chaitanya comes once every 1,000 Kali Yugas. So one Kali Yuga, he comes once in every Chatur Yuga, which means 1,000 Kali Yugas. Mm-hmm. So that means one Chatur Yuga is 4 million years. So 4 million times 1,000, how much is that? Lord Chaitanya comes to the Earth planet every 4 billion years. And he was here 500 years ago. So what's the percentage? 500 to 4 billion. That means it's just like a second ago he was here, right? The last time he was here 500 years ago, which was like 1 second. And before that, 500 years was 4 billion years ago. And he came to give something very special. So what did Lord Chaitanya give? And then, so whenever the Acharyas are answering this question, then they cite this verse, Aradya Bhagavan Vrija Chaitanyas. Highest object of our worship is Krishna in Vrindavan, no other. And his dham, Krishna's dham of Sri Vrindavan is just as worshipable, is equally as worshipable as Krishna. The best method of worshipping Krishna is that which was done by the teenage gopis, the gopis of Vrindavan. They were the best worshippers of Krishna, best bhaktas. What is the proof of this? Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the highest goal of life? It says, Prema Pumartha Mahan. This verse says, Pumartha Art Mahan. Art Mahan means the greatest art, right? Is to have this gopi prema. So someone says, you're in ISKCON? Yes, you're in ISKCON. Who's your Ishtadev? Oh, I don't know, in the Sringa Ram, somebody, maybe, I don't know. You should know very clearly. You're ISKCON. Acha, ISKCON. It's like if you say you're Ram Bhakta, everyone knows your Ishtadev is Ram, or maybe Anuman could be also. So you're ISKCON, what is your Ishtadev? And then someone says, I don't know, maybe Ram, Sringa, somebody, I don't know. No. It's Brajendra Nandan Krishna. There's one answer. There's no second answer. Radha and Krishna. What is your goal? What is your goal? Why are you doing this? What is your goal in life? I want to develop Krishna prema like the gopis of Vrindavan. So now we have to think about different kind. Why this? The different rasas. Because the reason we're attracted to Nandan Nandan or Krishna is because of ras. Because he's asking the question, why are we worshipping Krishna over any other form of God? Because we're just like, why do you eat this food over some other food? Because you like the taste. So we worship Krishna because we like the taste. So what is the speciality about Krishna? Why is he called Rasaraj? Ram is not called Rasaraj. Sringa is not called Rasaraj. Vishnu is not called Rasaraj. So let's look at Lord Vishnu. Let's look at Dasya Ras. Because we're talking about Braj Bhakti. So Braj Bhakti has, in Braj Bhakti, Aradya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayos, in this Sridham Vrindavanam. So this Aradya, Vrindavan is worshipable, Krishna is worshipable. But even all the rasas of Braj are much more superior to Vaikuntha. They're superior in ras, in sweetness, in intimacy. So therefore they attract the heart. So now we'll look at Dasya Bhav, Dasya Ras in Vaikuntha. Vijay, Jai and Vijay are the guards in Vaikuntha, and they keep out people that aren't supposed to come there. So they're in Dasya Ras. And in Nandagram, Nanda Maharaj, in his house, he has Raktak and Patrak. They're also in Dasya Ras. Also servants of Krishna. Jai and Vijay are servants of Vishnu. But just see the difference in Ras. Raktak and Patrak are also in Dasya Bhav, just like Jai and Vijay. But Raktak and Patrak, they're house servants, so they take part in bathing Krishna every day. They bathe him. And when they're bathing Krishna, Krishna's sitting on a bathing dais, like a mandap. And sometimes he's restless because he's anxious to be with the gopis. So he's moving like this and like that. So Raktak, they'll pick up their hand and say, "Hey, stop squiggling around. We're trying to bathe you. Now stop squiggling around. If you don't go like this, wiggle around, I'll give you a slap." Can you imagine Jayambijay going up to Vishnu and slapping him in the face? Not possible. Impossible. So this is Dasi Rasin Vaikuntha and Dasi Rasin Braj. Or sometimes Raktak and Patrak, after they dress Krishna, then they give him a hug and they give him a kiss on the cheek. Because he's going to go out with the coward boys and they're not going to see him all day long. Because they're not in Sakiras, they're in Dasiras. So can you imagine Jayambijay embracing Vishnu and giving him a kiss on the cheek? Impossible. Now let's look at Sakiras. If you see in Vaikuntha, practically all of Lord Narayan's friends are like in... they're all, even though they're his friends, they're like in Dasiras. Look in Ayodhya, Ram has friends. Who are Ram's friends in Ayodhya? Sugriv, Vibhishana. Vibhishana, Sugriv, these are his friends. They're in Sakiras. So they're in Sakiras. They're like, it's called Sakiras. They're friends. But they sometimes talk with Ram. But now let's look at the friendship of Krishna's friends. Do you think it's possible in Ayodhya for Sugriva or Vibhishana or other friends of Ram, you think they can climb on Ram's shoulders? Can they eat from his plate when he's taking bhog? Can they reach off his plate? Oh, that's a nice rasgulla and take it. Coward friends of Krishna, they're eating a rasgulla and then, well, this is very good. Krishna, try it. They can give from their mouth, they can take the rasgulla, put it in Krishna's mouth. Think Sugriva can be eating with Ram and take a sweet and give it to Ram's mouth? And sometimes Krishna's friends, they all sleep on the same bed with Krishna. Think Vibhishana can sleep with Ram? Dito never allow. So why is the difference? And there's, although Sakiras is there, Ayodhya is also Vaikuntha. Spiritual world, it's Sakiras we're talking about. And we're talking about spiritual world, Brajagokul, Vrindavan. I said that Aradhya Bhagavan, Brajeshitanyos, Sridham Vrindavana. So our Aradhya Dev, our Aradhya Bhagavan, our Ishta Dev is Krishna. And our Ishta Dham, our worshipable Aradhya Dham is Vrindavan, not Ayodhya, because of this difference in Ras. So Ram has his friends, but why can't they sleep with him and eat from his plate and give him food from his plate? Because there's some restriction. They're restricted by etiquette, fear and etiquette, and respect, awe and reverence. Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now, Krishna has friends also. Krishna has friends like Arjuna. They joke together. Arjuna tells Krishna to drive his chariot. Arjuna tells Krishna to massage the legs of his horses. Krishna becomes a servant of his friend. Can you imagine Ram serving his friends like this? Massaging Hanuman's legs, massaging Vibhishana's legs. One time Narada Muni went to Dwarka. And so this, now we're talking about friendship of Ram in Ayodhya. Then we talked about friendship in Braj. Now we're talking about friendship with Krishna in Dwarka, with Arjuna. This is Sakiras. So Narada Muni visited there. And when he came there, he saw that Arjuna and Krishna were lying, sleeping on the same bed together. Krishna was lying on the bed, he was holding on his chest, he was holding the feet of Arjuna. In other words, they were lying head to feet. And Krishna was holding the feet of Arjuna, they were lying like this, right? You know, two on the bed. So Arjuna was holding Krishna's feet on his chest. Rukmini was standing by Krishna's head, fanning him with a chamar. And then Draupadi standing by Arjuna, fanning Arjuna with a chamar. And Narada Muni comes in, he sees this scene of these two, Krishna Arjuna, sleeping on the bed together. And that's very amazing. But something even more amazing was happening. They were both sleeping. But coming out of every pore, every pore of the body of Arjuna was coming out Krishna, Krishna. The sound was coming out Krishna, 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 Krishna. And out of every pore of Krishna's body was coming Arjuna. This is the closeness of friendship between Krishna and Arjuna. See the sweetness of Krishna. See the difference of Sakyaras between Ram and Krishna. You say, oh, Krishna, Ram, Vishnu, they're all the same. Ek vasu, ek tattva. Eki, they're one in tattva, but different in ras. Tattva is for the mind. Ras is for the heart. A man lives in his heart. We taste from the heart. So we want to taste something sweet. We don't care. We don't think anything. If we're with some beautiful girl, we don't think anything about her vastu. We just think about her taste. So this is what's appealing. We're attracted to Krishna because of ras. But they're one in tattva. Ram, Krishna, Vishnu, Nisringa, they're all Vishnu tattva. But there's a difference in ras. This is what we're trying to do by this Leela. By Leela Vichar, you can understand the difference. What is the bait? So this is how close their friendship was, Arjuna and Krishna. Yet on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna saw the Virat Rupa of Krishna, then all of a sudden his intimacy dissolved. Arjuna was trembling in fear. Please forgive me, Krishna. You're the Param Dhamma, Param Pavitram Paramambhavan. You're the Para Sarva Karana Karana. You're the cause of all causes. I ate with you and I slept with you. Please forgive me. You're Bhagavan. So all of his friendship became in that. When he saw that vibhuti of Krishna, then he became so much awe and reverence. You're the supreme Lord. Please forgive me. So what happened to the Sakyaras of Arjuna? It disappeared. Because Arjuna's Sakyaras is mixed with Aishvarya. Aishvarya Bhav means awe, reverence, majesty. But in Mathura, when Krishna went to Mathura with Akrura, and many coward boys went with him. And Krishna was walking down the street, and he was very in a very proud mood. And he said, you know, boys, tomorrow I'm going to kill Kamsa. I'm going to kill Kamsa. And then the boy said, come on, Krishna, what are you talking about? He said, listen, sometimes, you know, we wrestle. Sometimes you can beat Sridham. But then when you wrestle with Subal, then he beats you. But this Kamsa, he's as tall as the sky. He's stronger than 100 elephants. So what are you talking about? How are you going to beat him? So then Krishna said, I said, look, I'm going to beat him like this. And then he manifested this huge form. It's called Dirga Vishnu. There's a temple in Mathura called Dirga, D-I-R-G-H-A.
Yeah.
Dirga Vishnu. Just huge, like Virata Rupa. And all the boys went, wow, you know. And he showed this huge form in front of all the coward boys. And then the boys said, oh, really, Krishna, is that how you're going to do it? Is that how you're going to beat him? They just joke with him. Oh, that when they saw this big form, they said, oh, Krishna. Nothing changed. They just saw this huge form and they said, oh, Krishna, you're going to do it like that. You're going to become so big and then you'll beat him. They said, you're just a little boy. You're just a little boy. You're only 10 years old. And he's as big as a mountain. He's as tall, he's strong as a mountain, as big as a mountain, you know. So then he showed, and the boys just laughed. Oh, Krishna, you're going to do it like this? The boy said, hey, Krishna, how did you learn how to do this? Did Gargacharya teach how to do this? He's a guru for Vasudeva. Kula guru. So the boys got bored with seeing this form. They said, Krishna, okay, enough of this. Let us see your little boy form again. So this is Sakyaras in Vrindavan. There's no maryada. There's no awe and reverence. There's no bhayam. There's no fear. Nothing. So then Krishna entered the wrestling arena, the Rangashala, of Kamsa's Rangashala, jumped on a dais and he slept Kamsa. And he threw him down on the ring, and by the time he got to the ring, he was already dead. So then Krishna, as soon as Krishna was standing on the ring like that, in the middle of the ring with Kamsa, Sridham jumped in the ring, in the wrestling ring. He said, okay, Krishna, you can beat Kamsa, but can you beat me? Then he picked up Krishna, he threw him down on the mat, and he counted, 1, 2, 3. All right. So only Krishna's friends can do this, right? So this in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan doesn't have any friends. There's no Sakyaras at all in Vaikuntha. There's a little Sakyaras in Ayodhya, Ayodhya Dham, in the spiritual world. I'm talking about spiritual world, Ayodhya Dham, Vaikuntha.
adhyatma jagat ki baat kar rahe
hain. Vibhishan, Vibhishan, Sugriv. I told a little Sakiras. But hear about the Sakiras of Krishna. But you can have some understanding of the difference between why we worship Krishna and why we offer respects and regard to Ram and Nrisimha and Vishnu and Narayan. But all our meditation, all our prayers, all our meditation, all our reading is all about Radha and Krishna. At least it should be. So I'll talk a little bit about Vatsalya Bhav. So is there Vatsalya Bhav in Vaikuntha with Lord Narayan? So in Vaikuntha, with Narayan, there's only basically, they say there's 2.5 rasas. Shantaras, Dasyaras, and a little bit of Madhurya with Lakshmi. But even that's mixed with Dasya. And Lakshmi Devi is supposed to be in Madhurya in conjugal love. She's the consort of Narayan. So the consort's supposed to be lying on the chest of the husband, isn't it? Right? The place of the consort, the girl, the wife's position is on the chest of the husband, right? But where does Lakshmi take her place? She's at Masus. This is the highest ras, the highest possible, most intimate ras is Madhurya ras. But in Vaikuntha, Madhurya ras has been reduced to Dasya. That's why Acharyas say in Vaikuntha there's only 2.5 rasas. There's Shanta ras, Dasya ras, and a little bit of Madhurya ras. Madhurya is basically it's only Dasya ras in Vaikuntha. No Sakya ras, no Vatsalya ras, no Madhurya ras. So there's no question of baby Narayan. Kumar Narayan. So what about Nrisimhadev? Who are the parents of Nrisimhadev? So there's no Vatsalya Rasa of Nrisimhadev, right? In Ayodhya, Ram's parents have so much love for him. But one time he showed his forearm form. And then Dasarath and Kaushalya, they started offering prayers and became so much respectful. But look at the Vatsalya Rasa in Braj. Yashoda and Nanda are the mother and father of Krishna. And once at Brahmandagat, Krishna was eating some clay over there. And Balaram and all the coward boys, they said that Krishna's eating clay, and they told his mother that he's eating clay and not rasgullas. So then she went there, and she wanted to see, oh, let me see, are you eating clay? And she said, they're lying. Those boys are lying. Dalbhai is lying. The boys are Sridhar Subal, Arjun, Kinkini, Kokil. They're all lying. So he said, open your mouth. So then Krishna opened his mouth. And what did Mother Yashoda see inside Krishna's mouth? She saw the entire universe with thousands and thousands of planets and nakshatras. And then she saw the earth planet. And on the earth planet, she saw Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, she saw Mother Yashoda. And she saw Mother Yashoda looking inside Krishna's mouth. So she saw all these things inside Krishna's mouth. So what was her response? She folded her hands and started offering prayers. Oh, hey Bhagavan, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Did she do like that? In Ayodhya, when Kaushalya and Dasarath just saw one time when Ram showed the forearm form, immediately so much awe and reverence and so much prayers, hey Bhagavan. When Mother Yashoda saw that, she said, oh, must be some ghost inside here. So she went like this, you know, snapping her fingers, and she got some cow's tail and she called the Brahmins. She saw something inauspicious happen to her son, or some boot had come inside some ghost. So then she called the Brahmins and she got cow dung, because you know they know this is all purifying and pavitram cow dung. So she took a pot of cow urine, she poured it all over his head, then she covered his body with cow dung. She just rubbed cow dung all over his body and to purify him. And then she was telling all the Brahmins, she said, please bless my son. So the Brahmins came, Mangalam, Mangalam Bhavatu, Mangalam Kalyan Bhavatu, Mangalam Bhavatu. So where is such love to be found? So all the time Krishna was thinking, when Mother Yashoda was covering him with cow dung and urine and everything, he says, boy, that's the last time I show my universal form to Yashoda. Radya Bhagavan Brajeshitanya Sri Dham Vrindavanam. So Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Sindhu. He's an ocean of unlimited rasas. He's Prema Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, and Veno Madhurya. Gamanam madaram lila madaram hasya madaram venu madaram. Everything about Krishna is sweet. Vallabhacharya is singing one famous bhajan. Hasitam madaram. Your smiling is sweet. Gamanam madaram. Your movements are sweet. Chalitam madaram. Your wandering is sweet. Venu madara. Your flute is sweet. Gavo madara. Your cows are sweet. Everything is sweet about the Lord of sweetness. Madarari pater akilam madaram. Madarari pater akilam madaram. Ram yakachit upasana vajibadu vir. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling that the gopis in Braj, they're the topmost devotees of Krishna. So the Braja gopis' worship and love is the best. So their permanent mood, the Madhura Rati, or the permanent loving mood of the gopis, is that Krishna, you're my lover. So what is the definition of prema? Rupa Goswami is telling in Nectar Devotion, he's describing prema. So the prema is intense affection for Krishna, full of various bhavas, and it's characterized by a feeling that even if there's the bondage or the loving affection is so intense that even if there's a cause for breaking the relationship will never be broken. This is what is being told in Shikshastakam. There's giving a definition of prem there. What shloka gives that definition of prem? So this is showing that Krishna, even if you embrace another girl in front of me, I still love you. Even if Krishna embraces Chandravali right in front of Radharani's eyes, still Radharani will not give up her love for Krishna. But in the transcendental world, so in this Vrajagokul, Vaikunthame, there are different levels of prema, which can only be experienced in a spiritual body. Sneha, Man, Pranaya, Rag, Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav, Modan, Adiruddha Mahabhav, Ruddha Mahabhav, Adiruddha Mahabhav, Mohan Bhav, Modan Bhav, Mohan Bhav, and Madanakya Mahabhav. These are all the different levels of prema. So because we talked about Dasyaras and Sakiras and Vatsalyaras, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically came to give Gopi Bhav. Rag Mark Prachar, told in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he came. One of the reasons he came is Rag Mark Prachar, to preach Raga Nuga Bhakti. So now, because this shloka, which epitomizes the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is telling Ramya Kachit Upasna Vrajabhudu Vargena Sakalpita, that the Vrajabhudu, the Gopi, the Vrajagopis, they are the Ramya Kachit, Ramya Upasana, they are doing the best. They are the best devotees, the best bhaktas, and the best worshippers of Krishna. What is it that makes their love so special? What is it that makes their worship of Krishna so special? What makes their worship so special is all their varieties of prema, especially the Mahabhav. Only the Brajagopis have Mahabhav. Varka Mahishis, no Mahabhav. Or the Mathura Ramanis, ladies of Mathura, no Mahabhav. This is a speciality of Brajagopis. Topmost love. So let's hear about these different aspects of love of the gopis. So the first thing is sneha. Sneha is that type of love where the heart is melting so much upon only a slight contact with the object of love. Just looking upon the beloved, you can't take your eyes off the beloved and never become satiated even after looking at the beloved again and again. Even though Krishna, he's Krishna, he's God, even though Krishna is perfectly capable of taking care of himself, a feeling comes in his devotees, they become worried about him. Is he okay? This is a symptom of sneha. And this is very, although sneha is found in Krishna's friends, in the Sakiras, and sneha is also found in Madhuriras, sneha is very prominent in Vatsalyaras. And one of the symptoms of sneha is immediately, as soon as you see your beloved, you start crying. Mother Yashoda, as soon as she immediately upon seeing Krishna, tears comes to her eyes and milk starts to fall from her breast. Even though he's 10 years old and she has no babies, milk rushes from her breast out of maternal affection. Of course, we're all men, or at least, you know, we're in the men's bodies. We don't know the election of lady, but a lady, and when a lady is pregnant, has a baby, and as soon as she sees the baby, milk will start dripping from her breast because of her intense affection for baby. Mother Yashoda is always worried for the safety. If she sees scratches on Krishna's body, she thinks, oh, the boys were wrestling. They're wrestling. They're playing so rough again with Krishna. So this is sneha. It's very much worried about. This is a feeling that comes. When the love becomes deeper and it becomes pranaya. Pranaya means like pran. My pran. Pran means your very life force. You develop intense feelings of intimacy and oneness with your beloved. You and I are one in mind, one in body, one in heart, one in interest. The mood of pranaya is especially prominent in Sakyaras. When Krishna walks in the forest, the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they come down to Vrindavan and they stop him on the footpath and they offer prayers. There's so much intimacy in this pranaya with the gopas. While the demigods are standing there offering Purusha Shukta and stutis and stotras to Krishna, then Subal, he notices that there's some dust on Krishna's peacock feather. Some Brajaraj has come up and landed on his peacock feather. So right in the middle, the demigod's offering all these prayers. Sridham just comes up with his cloth to Krishna and starts dusting off his peacock feather and wiping off the dust. So he didn't have... It's so much intimacy with Krishna. He's not thinking, oh, I better wait till the demigods are finished. So there's no... You would think that when all these great demigods would be some awe and reverence, but there's never any idea of awe and reverence. Because the coward boys are saying, you and I are like one, we're the same. If I have dust on my peacock feather, I'll take it off, I'll make it clean again, and I'll make your peacock feather clean. It doesn't matter, demigods, who cares about them? There's also this quality of pranaya is also a little bit in Mother Yashoda also. So sneha and pranaya. Now we come to man. This is a speciality of the gopis in Madhurya Ras. Man means love sulk, sulky mood, pouting mood, anger based on jealousy. At the level of man, love, this prema, this Krishna prema, when it rises to the level of man, it starts to become crooked. Example the acharyas give, if you see a wheel, if a wheel is spinning very fast, and it's going very fast. Sometimes it's going like this, but if you look at it, it looks like it's also going backwards. So this is the nature. When praying gets very high, it starts to become crooked. And it appears to be moving in the opposite direction. So what does this mean? Because we heard that one of the definitions of praying is to act in such a way to give pleasure and happiness to Krishna. When we talk about this man, the gopis man, when the gopis are displaying man, especially Radharani, it seems that they're not acting, it's not giving Krishna pleasure. Because Krishna is with, he's meeting Radharani and he wants to kiss Radharani and embrace her, but she's showing unfavorable mood, contrary mood. Man means a contrary mood, like she's like anger, love sulk, she's pouting, she shows a contrary mood. So this seems to be against prema. So love, when it rises to the level of prema, it seems to be going in the opposite direction. In man, when the gopis are in man, they become very angry and they criticize Krishna. Okay. They use very hard words. Dort you lumpat. But this is not actually anger, this is the highest level of love. It says that Krishna so much likes the chastising word. He likes the chastising words of the gopis more than the Vedic stutis and stutis of the Vedas. And the gopis, the only reason they display this man, this unfavorable mood, to increase Krishna's happiness. That's told in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila, chapter 20. This is Krishna's Kaviraj is telling. Yep. Kanta Krishna Kare Rosha, Krishna Paya Santosha, Sukha Paya Tandana Bartsan, Yata Yogya Kariman, Krishna Tate Sukhapan, Charimana Alpasadane. Translation. when a beloved gopi shows man towards Krishna, Krishna is very satisfied, santosh. Indeed, Krishna is extremely pleased when he's chastised by such a gopi. She shows her man suitably. Krishna enjoys that attitude. Then with a little endeavor, Krishna, she gives up her man. So like that. This is a praman. So now higher than man is rag. So man is more, when man becomes very intense, then rag manifests. In rag, love is very deep. Even though it's sometimes painful, it becomes a source of pleasure. So in Indian culture, if a chaste married lady who's serving her husband, it's the most painful thing if she's considered to be unchaste. But in old days, it was considered a terrible, terrible, shameful thing. So this rag, the intense, the attachment of the gopis is so, even though it seems to be painful, that they have to suffer pain, it actually is a source of the greatest pleasure. So the proof of their rag, their attachment, their rag for Krishna is so intense that they're able to give up everything. And that rag is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dasama Skanda, Rasa Panchadaya, where Krishna plays his flute on the Sharad Purnima, which is about 10 days or so from now. This rag is so great that when Krishna plays his flute on Sharad Purnima, the gopis drop everything. Some gopis are taking care of babies, their sisters' babies. They drop the babies on the floor and they run out of the house. So there was milk boiling on the stove and they let the milk go. They were feeding their husbands. They stopped in the middle. So this is, and they left everything and ran to Krishna. So their fathers tried to stop them and the Braja gopis slapped them in the face. His father-in-law. Gets down my way. Vamshi Dari, Krishna Murari, Tamabina Dukahari. Vamshi Dari, Krishna Murari, Tamabina Dukahari. Right? Without you, my life is miserable. Dukha Hari, take away my Hari. Vamshi Dari. So, this is very bad in Vedic culture. This is worse than death for a chaste lady. But if that will give pleasure to Krishna, that thing which is more painful than death, that becomes a source of pleasure. So the gopis are willing to suffer any kind of pain for themselves if that will give pleasure to Krishna. This is the meaning of rag. Another meaning of rag is that the lover always looks new. We say Navayovanam. Krishna's Navayovanam. He's always youthful, ever youthful. And then there's anurag. Anurag is the type of attachment that follows rag. It's even deeper attachment. We always see Lakshmi is always massaging the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Did you ever see Lakshmi do Ras Leela with Narayan? You ever see Sita and Ram play holy? Did you ever see Narayan and Lakshmi on Julan? Did you ever see Narayan and Lakshmi playing Jalkeli? Does Narayan ever dress up as a lady and try to enter into Lakshmi's house? In Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu, he describes at least 40 different times where Krishna disguises himself as a lady. 40 different disguises so he can meet with Radharani or break her man when she's angry. Did you ever hear of, Ram dressing up as a lady? He could have dressed up as a lady and snuck into Lanka. So in Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, and in Vaikuntha only Dasyaras. Vishnu Chakravarti is very strong. He says that outside of Vrindavan there is no Madhurya Ras. Though other liberal commentaries will say there's some Madhurya Ras with Sita and Ram. But let's look at the Madhurya Ras of Sita and Ram. Sita and Ram were in the forest. They're staying in Chitrakoot. And Sita was walking in the forest and she stepped on a thorn in her foot. And she said, ow, ow. And then Ram said, oh, what happened? And she's looking at her foot. She says, oh, I stepped on a thorn. So then Ram was thinking, oh, I should help her. But I can't. But I'm a king. And I can't touch her feet. And besides, if anybody was to see me, this would be very shameful for me to be seen touching my wife's feet. Which is unheard of. For a husband, what to speak of a king to touch his wife's feet. So Ram looked all around like this. He says, let me see. And then Sita said, no, no, no. You're my pati. You're my guru pati. You're my everything. You're my lord. You're my swami. Don't touch my feet. I'll figure it out.
I want you.
So this is see the maryada. See the distance. The intimacy is very less. Although it's Madhurya Ras, it's husband and wife, right? Madhurya, conjugal love. But yet he's afraid. There's so much fear. I'm afraid to touch. There's so much fear. There's so much awe, reverence, respect, right? Now let's take the Madhurya Ras in Vrindavan of Radha and Krishna. Radharani is walking along the banks of Yamuna one evening. It's full. There's a beautiful, gentle breeze blowing off the Yamuna.
Dear
Shamir. There were lotus flowers blossoming in the Yamuna, night-blooming lotuses, called Kamudi. And they're very fragrant. And there are many sandalwood trees. The natural scent of sandalwood and lotus flowers in the breeze. Very, very pleasing atmosphere. Krishna is walking with Radharani on his left side. And Lalita was next to him, and many Sakis Mantris around him. So then Radharani, just to have some fun with Krishna, she said, Oh, I stepped on a thorn. And Krishna, what? Come. And he took her, and he found one tree, like a root of a tree out of the ground, you know, above the ground. He said, sit down here. Radharani down on the root of a tree. It was a natural seat. The root was coming out of the ground. Sometimes you see like it's
so sick.
Then Krishna kneeled down at Radharani's feet. Immediately kneeled down, and he took her feet in his hands, very carefully. And he started with his finger. He started saying, "Where is it? Where is it? Does this hurt?" She said, "No." "Does this hurt?" "No." So Krishna's not looking around, anybody looking. There's no fear to touch Radharani's feet. There's no vichar, awe and reverence, anything. He's not thinking, touch my wife, touch my girlfriend's feet, my consort's feet. No. He's just thinking, she stepped on the thorn. I immediately have to help her. So Krishna's so tenderly holding Radharani's feet, and he's looking with, and he takes his cloth, because there's some dust on her feet from the brajaraj, from walking on the footpath. So he brushes her feet off like this very carefully, and he gets some yamuna water, and he cleans her feet. He does like whole seva to her feet, and he's looking, and he takes her feet, over by the moonshine, where the moon is shining. Does it hurt here? And she says, "No, not there. Here." And Radharani's taking all this attention. All the Sakis are looking. Kapra and Jamuna. So then, after Krishna's looking, and he says, "Oh, Radhika, I'm looking. I can't find that thorn. Where's that thorn?" And Radharani says, "Just keep looking." So basically, Krishna's massaging Radharani's feet and looking, washing them, drying them. And then Radharani's looking at her sakis, and she's communicating, "I didn't step on any thorn." She's communicating. She's telling with her eyes, "I didn't step on any thorn. There's no thorn in my foot." So they start smiling, and Krishna's so intent to find this thorn. He's very serious. Where's this thorn? He's very worried about this thorn. Then he looks up and he sees Radharani smiling, all the gopis smiling and trying to repress their laughter. So then Krishna says, "I don't think, is there, you have a thorn?" And Radharani says, "Actually, there's no thorn in my foot." And then Krishna throws her foot, and he throws her foot down. Okay. So then everyone starts laughing. So this is this difference in Madhurya, the Charan Seva of Ram versus the Charan Seva of Krishna. Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ki Jai! Vrindavan Krishna Ki Jai!